Blog Talk Radio. Yes, hi, good evening, everybody. This is Lynn, and welcome to another episode of Century Health Talk. Nyanka and my co-host this evening is our office admin, Alexandria. So how are you tonight, Al?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm not quite sure if we're having some technical difficulties. I'm sort of like hearing music, and then it'll kind of shut off and then go on. So I don't know. Are you hearing the music pretty okay? It's not cutting off or anything like that?
Well, I can hear you.
That's good. I'd like to be heard. Especially that we're doing a radio show. If by any chance all of a sudden I actually mute myself, say something, because I can still hear people. It's just that I'm not used to doing this, really. One time I wanted to be a radio host person, but it was just too much to talk about, and I would probably bore people to death. So that's the reason why I'm doing this, asking questions, let somebody else do the talking. So how's the night going on, Alex? Oh, you're saying something?
Oh, I just said it works to let somebody else talk. I'm picking on you.
Yeah.
You know, tonight is not that bad. Had some champagne, had some Mexican food, and I'm sitting back, sharing this link here to everybody on my Facebook so they can tune in if they would like. And hopefully
okay.
We'll get some listeners out there that'll be interested in our topic tonight.
Yeah, topic is yoga. So have you done yoga before at all?
You know, I have not been able to find a studio that
mm-hmm.
I felt really fit.
So, okay. Oh, okay.
But I do
maybe
love stretch, I mean, overall.
yeah, definitely. Sometimes stretching gets the endorphins going, and it's almost like when you wake up in the morning, you stretch out and you start yawning, and it's like, oh, I should go back to bed. Oh, that's probably just me, but but yeah, thank you very much for at least agreeing to be my co-host this evening at the last minute sort of thing. I didn't think the show was going to go on tonight. I had a backup plan to talk about rowing with a client, but I kind of failed to remind him. So it's like, oh, thank goodness this actually worked out. Our guest tonight is Lydia from Anchorage, and she's on with us at the moment. So how are you tonight?
I am doing great. Also, my belly is full. My dad just cooked me some potatoes and mashed some beans in there. It's something that he brought in from Europe as a dish, and we just loved it, so we ate it up. And it's sunny outside. It's gorgeous in Anchorage. We've had one of the most beautiful summers, and fishing is great. So everybody's going fishing. So yoga right now is kind of taking a little bit of a backseat for a lot of people because they're enjoying this beautiful weather, which usually doesn't happen as often in Anchorage.
Yeah, I can attest to that because I used to be an Alaskan. I used to live there in Anchorage. And when you get sunshine, you just take advantage of it. And so people go outside and nobody wants to go to an indoor facility and sweat it out when it's nice and hot outside and sunny. And I was just there a couple of weeks ago too. So yeah, wow. It's been in the 80s or something, really hot?
It's been more like 70s, but for Alaskans, that's like if you go to Florida, it's in the hundreds. So high 70s, low 80s are like hundreds for people in Florida. They go like, oh my God, it's hot, taking clothes off, going like, I'm burning.
I remember that. 70s was like, oh my goodness, it's too hot. And coming down to here, one time it got to the 90s, I couldn't take it here in Seattle area. I was actually taking showers every 2 hours, cold showers. so I could stay cool. It got so hot. 90s to me is unbearable. So I don't know how those people in the hundreds are actually being able to live where they live.
Air conditioning.
Oh. I know, but they're not enjoying the sunshine outside because it's probably going to burn it to crisp. So the weather is great. Yoga is on the wayside right now with people enjoying the weather. Are you an avid fisherman or something? Do you fish at all?
I have actually been forbidden by my husband to fish because I'm almost a vegetarian and I eat fish very rarely and I'm not very good about taking in my protein. So one time that I went fishing, I wouldn't eat fish for about a year, and my husband was like, "That's it. You're never fishing again. It's coming in little fillets, squares, so it looks like it's bought in the store, and that's your fish." But then whenever he goes, because we have limits to how much we can catch, he goes, "Okay, I wish you went with me." And then he goes, "No, because then you're not going to eat it again."
Oh, I feel so sorry for your husband. So, I can eat fish. There's one time I actually went crabbing with my family, and for about a week I couldn't eat the crab because I helped catch them. But the fish, no problem.
Yep.
But it only lasted a week.
The last time we never ate crab was, my husband will not eat crab to this day. He ate so much on our Alaskan cruise that he won't eat it. Refuses.
It is kind of expensive anyway, so that's a good thing to not have all the time. But
it's so good.
I know. I know, and I don't get it as much here anymore, so oh well. I guess we can just go on with the show, but I have to kind of tell everybody I'm actually at a friend's house using her internet because my internet at home is kind of spotty. And guess what I forgot to bring? The outlet, power cord for my laptop. So it's now saying it's, 68%. So hopefully it'll last for the whole show. Cross your fingers, guys.
So, Lynn, what you're saying is you're going to be cutting me off if I'm talking too much. Is that what it is?
Huh? No, I did not say that. You said it. My lips are sealed. No, I'm not that mean. I'm pretty much an open book. And if I don't like somebody, they kind of will know. I don't have to say anything because they can read my body language. Oh, but then again, we're on radio, so... Yeah, you'll find out if I don't like you or not. But I'm laughing, so I guess I must like you. So, Alex can attest.
If she doesn't like you, she'll probably just hang up. And.
Oh, I don't know about the hanging up, though. I'd probably say, I guess the show's over. Bye, everybody.
I suddenly came down with a terrible case of something.
Exactly. See? And then, But no. The funny thing is that Lydia and I were going, have I met you? Because I was back in Anchorage a couple of weeks ago. Because I think we've met. I remember hearing your long name. And you were introducing yourself to somebody with your long name. And basically just saying, just call me Lydia. Okay.
Exactly. my full legal name is a mouthful. It's Lydia Beata Polacek Amfenar. So I almost have all the letters of the alphabet.
It's Polacek? I thought it was Pol. Yeah, I guess I would have said
it
Polacek.
It is Polacek. Yes,
Polacek.
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I almost would have butchered it, but I would have been close. But anyway, so welcome, you guys. I need to say a few things about this network. So basically, The Century Health Talk is under the flagship show of the Dynamic Dojo in the Seika Network here on Blog Talk Radio. Our show airs biweekly, that's every other Tuesday at 8 p.m. Pacific Time, and we'll talk about anything and everything health and fitness related. We welcome folks sending us ideas for future shows by adding yourself onto our Facebook group page called Century Health Talk, and that's Health Talk, it's one word. Or by emailing us at healthtalkhost@centurymassage.com. The Seika Network welcomes professionals in their own field to join the network with their shows, so if you're interested in hosting your own show, please email the network founder, Sifu Restita De Jesus, at, oh boy, here's a mouthful for you, dynamicdojoradiohost@gmail.com. to find out more information on how to get started in having your own show under the flagship of Seika Network. Our live calling number is 347-677-0699, and we welcome your questions or comments. Please make sure to press 1 to talk to the host, or just, if you don't, I'll just think that you're listening to the show. Again, that live call-in number is 347-677-0699, just like how Alex and Lydia called to get on the show to talk to me, and now we have a show. Our guest tonight, again, let's see if I can get this right, is Lydia Poljacek-Umfinor. Yeah? Hey? Yeah? Close?
Yeah, you got mine right, but my husband's is Umfinor.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry.
All right. Hey.
Hi.
She's born and raised in, oh boy, here we go, Ljubljana, Slovenia?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, yay. Sorry, hubby, Lydia's hubby, for butchering your last name. She is pretty much more in the math and natural sciences in high school, and then you attended Law University? Wow.
Correct.
Dance, jazz, ballet, modern tap, and ballet professionally, worked for the American Embassy in Slovenia, been a war reporter in Bosnia. Holy cow, you have a great resume here. Brought food relief to kids in Bosnia once, went to India with a friend who developed a fire suppression technology for coal mines, did a lot of traveling, and basically began doing yoga when she couldn't find an adult dance studio in Anchorage, where she now resides. One of her best friends told her about therapeutic yoga, which is now Lydia's focus. She attended Yoga Well in San Diego, where her initial training began, and that's where she learned about yoga being used in relieving stress, PTSD, anxiety, improving limited mobility, and so on and so forth. At present, Lydia is a registered yoga instructor in Hatha. Is it Iyengar?
Just in Hatha. It's Hatha Yoga, but Hatha Yoga encompasses also all the other ones. You can go to Iyengar Studio and become a certified teacher, and you can teach Iyengar or Hatha or Anusara. But basically, it's depending on what studio gives you as basics. So my studio, which was Hatha Yoga Studio, gave me also basics of Iyengar, Anusara, Ashtanga, Vinyasa, and so forth and so forth.
Okay. So your training is really more in Hatha and basic training in the other styles.
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you are now a certified prenatal yoga teacher.
Correct.
And your current project is to become a certified yoga teacher to work with cancer patients and cancer survivors?
Correct. I'm halfway through that one, yes.
Oh, well, congratulations, halfway through.
Absolutely.
Being the avid traveler that she is, you may find Lydia teaching in Anchorage, San Diego, and sometimes Slovenia. She once did a workshop for the Navy called Yoga for Warriors. How was that?
That was very interesting because usually in yoga studios, most of the population usually is of the female gender. However, I had like 30 guys that were strong warriors, longtime warriors, Navy guys, and the class structure had to be quite a little bit different because they're very strong, they're very athletic, but everything with them is going forward. So just opening their backs was quite a challenge.
Oh, okay. Yeah, not a lot of guys are flexible. When I see flexible guys, it's really cool. Their body is totally different, molded differently in a sense.
Correct.
Basically,
okay. If you think about it, you know, even in our everyday life, even for women, not just guys, if you think about it, you're walking forward, you're riding forward, you're always leaning forward, picking things up forward. So, and especially in the winter here in Alaska, when you tend to kind of like crunch together because you're cold, so your shoulders round forward, that's where, as you grow older, that rounding of the shoulders comes in. So to keep a healthy spine, opening your back is quite important.
Okay, yeah, and I tell that to my clients as well, and I show them some stretches against the doorway, and that seems to help, but they don't necessarily hold that stretch long enough to make too much of a difference. So, I see what you mean about that. So, if you can give us, for somebody who's not really yoga literate like me, I know enough of it, say, hey, you might think of yoga as part of your workout and stuff like that to my clients, and you know, they might be into yoga, or I would push them in another direction that also will help with core and stretching. So could you please give us a brief history of yoga, if you could?
Absolutely. And, you know, the history is kind of like really long and stretches really far back. So they don't quite know all the details because it predates before the written word in like India and China in that region. So they think it's about 6,000 years old, somewhere around there. And then the first kind of drawings on the wall that kind of show certain yoga postures, they found them in Indus Valley, and they're about 5,000 years old. And then as the history goes, yoga then kind of spread all over, and then it got into Buddhism and some other religions or philosophies. And then it started spreading, and then about, I would say, 5 centuries before Christ, they started actually adding more asana postures because before that, it was mostly the seat for meditation, although they did also some other stuff, but they're not quite sure what. And then the Patanjali's Yoga Sutra was written around that time, so a little, you know, 500 BC, or maybe some think it's right around 100 AD. They're not quite sure. And that one kind of more cemented, it's kind of like that philosophic text of what yoga is. It defines it and kind of clarifies it a little bit, although maybe I'm using the word clarify a little bit too broad. It is such a condensed text. That's why you always heard of yogis taking a teacher and learning for years and years and years, because one sentence actually meant like a whole book. So that's kind of where it went. And in the West, it didn't come all the way until like the late 19th century. So I think at first Swami Vivekananda came like in the 1850s or 1860s. And then only like in 1890s they started doing more yoga. And again, it started more with the meditation and breathing practice. And then at the beginning of the 20th century, they started adding more asanas. And then later, like in 1980s, in 1980s with the research, they showed that with the asana practice, which means doing postures, and then also with the breath, the awareness, it brings a lot of health to your body and your mind. So here in the West, our yoga has kind of developed more into a workout, I would say. But then a lot of the times people start with yoga as a workout and then come into the mindfulness meditation and into the breath and health, and then kind of start venturing out and encompassing more into yoga on a broader level. So I know that's a lot of words, so go ahead and you can ask me something else as well. And
It just sounds like it's, you know, become so stretched out worldwide. I mean, how many styles are there? You'd almost think that every region kind of might, maybe has their own style in a way.
You are absolutely right, Alex. There is. I think I read somewhere there is 100 of styles of yoga, and basically what it is, that's a number. I don't know if that's true, if there's more or less, but I alone teach like 10 or 12 styles of yoga. So, and then you have all the therapeutic styles of yoga, and now you're coming with, you know, like yoga for cancer patients and cancer survivors, yoga for pregnant women. Most of them, however, reside, so they have their structure in Hatha yoga, and then they go from there. So there is like Iyengar, which is really strong on the alignment. Then you have forest yoga, which is also gaining popularity because it built a very strong core. And people think strong core as a strength thing, but it's more the balancing and being broadly in your body. So, and then you have styles of yoga like yin yoga that bring in martial arts and tai chi where you're holding a posture for like 5, 6, 7 minutes. And then you have kundalini yoga, which is kriyas, and you're doing certain thing until you agitate yourself for like 10, 15, 20 minutes. So there's so many different styles. But most probably popular lately, it's because most people come to it as a workout, is either a hot yoga or vinyasa flow.
Okay. Yeah, Carrie actually was trying to get me to do yin yoga, and I wasn't necessarily in the mindset to do any kind of yoga while I was visiting up there. But when you said martial arts, I go, oh, dang, I missed out on that opportunity. Darn it. And she was right. I would have been interested because I'm into Tai Chi. So that would have been probably something I would have really liked. Darn.
And there is some actually correlation between Tai Chi and yoga, and it's that breath. So bringing that big whole body breath to the movement and to the posture. So Tai Chi is a little bit more moving usually than yoga, but the breath is kind of the same, bringing it to the body and expanding it. Because almost everybody, that is one of the big things in yoga. People breathe into their upper chest. So when you tell them breathe deeply, they do and breathe into the upper chest and kind of lock. But that big breath is kind of like locked to us because we are so tense all the time because we keep doing things. That just learning to breathe is the basic of yoga, not the postures, not how limber you are, but can you breathe?
Okay, hold on, guys. What's going on? Every time I use Skype on this thing, sometimes it has a reboot kind of thing, and so now it's echoing what's going on like 3 seconds ago. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to call the line. I'm going to take myself off here, and you guys talk amongst yourself.
Okay.
Don't worry, Lily. She still likes you.
So Alex, you were saying that you have never tried yoga, correct? Is that
you
so?
I haven't personally. Wake up and do some stretching at home, then go on about my day. And I don't think I've really found anywhere that I feel really suits me.
I'm sorry, could you please repeat it?
Oh, yeah, I just don't feel like I've found anywhere that really suits me, a studio that I would feel would work for me. I mean, so what would you recommend for somebody who's not...
Go ahead.
I guess like when they're first looking into starting yoga, or what would you recommend them to look for?
I would say if you have never done yoga, I would say find somewhere where they have a basic class. Because teaching basic yoga, it's the hardest for teachers because we are so already ingrained with all the lingo, the language. We're ingrained with the postures. So going back to that beginning where you don't have really strong connection to your body, Sometimes we forget. So I would say find somewhere where they have a basic hatha yoga or a basic vinyasa flow where they will guide you step through step through step. And don't be shy to ask questions. And I would just say sometimes people go the first time. When I did first time yoga, I was like, eh. And then the more I went, the more I kind of realized there is more to it than just stretching and bringing my breath bigger and stronger and bringing that live energy and kind of being within myself. So don't be afraid if you're not limber. Don't be afraid if you are if you have any type of ailment. Find somewhere and ask them questions before you come. Do you cater to, let's say, older generation? Do you cater maybe to limited mobility? Or do you cater to somebody who has never, ever been to yoga? And, you know, the studio will tell you. And sometimes, just like with people, with some teachers, you're going to be like, oh, I love this teacher. And with some teachers, you're going to be like, well, it's not quite my person. So I would say just get the courage and go, because people think, you know, I have to be limber or I have to find a style. Just kind of dip your toes in the water and see, like, just like maybe go one or twice or three times to kind of a beginner's class so you can kind of feel what it is.
Well, definitely, because I know that's something that I'm sure makes people shy away. So they feel like they do have to be limber in order to get started, just like going to the gym. You feel like you already have to be in shape before you start going. I can definitely understand that.
Yeah, so basically it's mostly about, I always say breath, because even though the end means is the being aware of yourself and going into the meditation, but the breath is the one that connects you with yourself. So if you can breathe, means you're alive, and if you are alive, you're doing yoga. So just breathing unobstructively is already doing yoga. And especially now that I am doing the certification for the yoga for cancer patients and cancer survivors, sometimes those people are laying in bed and all they can do is breathing and concentrating and meditating or just breathing. They don't have to do anything else. And just kind of work on releasing the pain or whatever it is. So they're already doing yoga.
So Lydia, so would you say that meditation is the same thing as yoga, or yoga is the same thing as meditation?
It's interlinked. Meditation is a part of yoga. So yoga, as we know it today, kind of has eight limbs, and meditation is kind of almost like the end goal towards it, before you become like that self-aware of everything. You kind of, basically what they're doing in yoga is being happy, being content, being that good person, having kindness towards yourself and others. And yes, we are all humans. And yes, we will see the suffering. We will see the pain. Maybe even, I mean, we will be in pain. But then just kind of knowing that this is just a part of a process and kind of accepting it.
Hmm. Okay, so it's not just all about stretching then?
No, not at all. As I said, stretching only came later. But yes, stretching or working out, depends what kind of yoga you do. It's also very important for your body, because a healthy body, and even it's just healthy through your mind. Like I said, even if you're laying in bed and you're just imagining that you're doing something. So stretching is important. But in yoga, stretching is not such a big, I would say, mainstay. It's mostly doing the posture. So you are in Tai Chi, so it's similar, except it's not as moving.
Okay. So basically, as a massage therapist, I need to really learn some of the yoga styles that would probably help most of my clients, because, you know, some of them are not into Tai Chi, and Tai Chi, you can't do it really by yourself. It's kind of nice if you're able to do it by yourself, but no one is there to correct you. And I think that same goes with yoga in a sense. I mean, you can do yoga by yourself, but no one is there to correct you, because people think, just like in my, you know, in my office, sometimes they think they have a good posture, and then I start moving them about and says, this is actually what you should look like, and they go, that feels weird.
Yes. I totally agree with you. It is very important to have a good yoga teacher. However, if you're really shy and you don't want to go out, don't shy away. So even if you just start doing it with videos and at the first you're not quite correctly in the posture, as long as you're starting and moving and breathing, you're slowly becoming aware of the body. And I think that's also what the problem is with your clients, is they're not aware of their body, where everything is. So, yeah. And you were talking about there's also a style of yoga called Thai yoga, and there's a Thai yoga massage where they manipulate you into yoga poses. You're just laying there limber, and they actually do yoga for you. The massage therapist, the Thai yoga massage therapist does the yoga for you as you're laying or turning on a side. So there's also a type of yoga like that.
Okay, here's the thing that I, as a massage therapist and also does traditional Thai massage, the Thai yoga name is actually coined here in the Western world. It's actually Thai massage, and that's basically it. Dr. Zhivago is the person who came from India, who came down to Thailand and basically showed a form of massage that encompasses some Ayurveda thin lines and energy lines and so on and so forth, putting people in a passive, relaxed, stretch. The name Thai yoga is really it's just a Western thing. It's actually
absolutely
Thai massage. So I
and
have
a lot
to
of
defend Thai massage.
Yeah. But no, there is an overlap. So there is such a thing now because we in the West, yes, the yoga came from India, but if you go into India, you're not going to find all these different types of yoga and all this research. So this is mostly done in the West. So the history is East, but a lot of this new work and new founding and the science, which is now being integrated with yoga. So, again, it's developing in a little bit different. So the tradition comes from East, but the development is mostly in the West. So, yes, so that's why you probably might have heard Thai yoga massage, because they are now incorporating the yoga poses. So I agree with you. The basic, what you're saying, is where it came from. But now, like, it's spreading out, and they're coming with so many new things. Everybody's fusing it kind of with what they know or what they believe in or how they feel.
Yeah, I just have a feeling that some of these different names is more for marketing purposes, and that's the reason why I'm a little bit defensive on Thai massage.
And it's okay. And yoga is also now a big business. So there is a good and a bad everywhere. But, you know, what you as a practitioner or as a teacher or somebody who's giving it, what you choose is what's going to define you in the future. So I absolutely agree, yes.
Oh, okay. So it could be a controversial question. And I have a best friend who is in martial arts, and she gets these questions too, and also judgments on some of her potential clients. One is the question, is yoga a religion? I've heard some people actually think that martial arts that she's teaching, like Tai Chi and Kung Fu, people think that it's a religion. And they want to make sure that they Christianize it or Westernize it, or to a point that it's not really, because I've seen some of these YouTube videos of people changing Tai Chi, and they look really hilarious. It doesn't even look anything like Tai Chi, because I have no idea. It just looks funny. So is there a time in your life that actually someone has asked that question or actually decided to go against yoga because of the fact that it's from the East and not from the West?
Yes, it has not happened to me, because anyone that knows me knows that I'm an agnostic. So here, right there, I take the win out of them. There is no religion in it. I am a spiritual person, but I don't necessarily believe in God. I don't deny God or gods. So right there, they go like, oh, okay, so yoga cannot be a religion. And I have many friends who are devout Christians or Buddhists who are either strong yoga practitioners or teachers. And yes, there is a little bit of misunderstanding, and especially because we still use those traditional names. And one of the reasons why we use the traditional names is, so if you go somewhere, like if I go to Slovenia and I tell them Adho Mukha Svanasana, which is a downward facing dog, which of course in Slovenia it's not called a downward facing dog, it's called a roof. When you translate it. But if I say the Sanskrit name, everybody knows what I'm talking about because the Sanskrit name stays the same. And then the other thing that I tell them is, and because of the Sanskrit names, they think it might be a religion. And so that's one aspect. The other aspect is because Hinduism takes a lot from yoga, they think it's a Hindu religion or related to it. But yoga came way before Hinduism. It's a philosophy. And then Buddhism and Hinduism and some other religions took aspects of it because it is so beneficial to you. And I'm not talking about just the body. It is so beneficial to you as a person, as an enlightened being, that people just kind of drew whatever was that good thing towards their religion. So there was just a big lawsuit in California, in Encinitas, where a school system, the Encinitas school system got sued by parents, very religious parents, who said that yoga has no space in school because it's religious. And with kids, they change names. Because if you tell them Adho Mukha Svanasana, it's not fun for them. So with kids, you kind of have to be creative and you call it, you know, doggy wagging its tail or like the lotus pose or just seated pose with the legs crossed. You call it crisscross applesauce. So with kids, you're more creative, so it's more playful for them. So they proved to them that there was absolutely no religion in it. They proved to them that it is very beneficial to kids, and there is research, there is anecdotal science, even teachers. The school is saying after kids have yoga, they're able to perform so much better in school, to focus, to be still. So there's all these things, and if somebody... besides that it's a religion and you can't move them, you know, it's their right to do it. In yoga, we are very accepting. But, yes, it's not a religion. It's a philosophy.
No, I totally agree with you. It is a philosophy. I mean, I've never actually had been accused of doing Eastern religious massage, but I have heard of some massage therapists who are taking the East part of their massage when really massage was invented in a sense, or at least the earliest written thing about massage is about 3000 BCE in China.
Yeah.
So
And what is interesting, it's kind of sad that people don't take that history, because all the things that they might have known in they know from the massage from that era and from yoga that's coming from there, now the science is actually proving. Like just now, it was a big story, I don't know, a few months ago, that we're all made of stardust. And that is one of the things that yoga has always said. We are equal with that stone that's over there. We're equal with the star that is, I don't know how many light years away and that we can't even see. So all of these, and then like different centers, like, you know, in Tai Chi or in massage or in yoga, they're showing now all these things that the ancient yogis didn't necessarily know as medical terms, but they knew from the, you know, just longevity and because they're doing it so long, they had practical evidence that all of this was working and were able to name it, even though, you know, they didn't do the dissections like they do now. They didn't do the the research like we do it now, doing electrodes and all of that. But yes,
yes,
they all knew that, and now the West is catching up to that and saying, yes, this is all correct.
Yeah, and unfortunately, there's some in the West are actually still hard-headed about the changes because it's not, you know, coming from the West. And that's where I'm having some issues with some people. But, you know, I try not to make claims. I don't make claims. I say massage can help. Yoga may help. Tai Chi may help. But I don't tell them that it can. It's just there's a possibility that it can, not that it can help them, you know.
Yep.
Everybody here in the West is actually interested in one pill takes care of everything. Unfortunately, I keep telling them it could be a combination of different things. And
absolutely,
it's not a pill. And most of it is their, it's in their hands, basically. They make choices, mm-hmm. and it's not somebody's, fault if nothing works.
Yes, and this is something that I heard, I'm sorry, Alex, let me just say this one sentence, and then I'll let you talk. As I said, I talk a lot. There is this one sentence that I heard, and I think it's so appropriate, and it is, the sentence goes, body is not stiff, the mind is.
Powerful. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Now, I was touching on what you guys were talking about for the West, one pill fixes all. I definitely think it's conditioned to be a convenience fix. You know,
mm-hmm.
if we don't get immediate results, we don't like it. It doesn't work, you know. Such as, you know, let's take pain, for example, where massage and yoga could definitely help reduce pain. But if it doesn't work right away, we just say it doesn't work and ask the doc for more painkillers, you know, which is just, you know, a toxin in our body, really. But so I think that's kind of what turns a lot of people away is, if they don't see the results in the first couple sessions, then they're just write it off as it doesn't work for me.
Well, they haven't gone to our office yet, Alex, so you need to send them our way.
And ladies, I agree. However, the lucky path that we're on, more and more doctors are actually prescribing massages, physical therapies, and yoga. So there is a light at the end of the tunnel, if I joke a little bit.
That's good to know. I know a lot of PTs are actually sending clients to us. A lot of doctors are sending clients to us. The only problem is there's, just like probably in yoga, there's so many people doing yoga, and some of them probably just know enough basic but not to go on the therapy side of it. And then they have these people who have ailments or conditions, and then they attempt to help them and end up hurting them. So that's the next question. Can yoga actually end up hurting people? Because I know massage can, when there's a lot of massage schools here in just the King County area, producing so many massage therapists, most of them with just the basic Swedish massage technique, and then all of a sudden they're telling people that they can do medical massage, which is really bullpucky.
Yes. Unfortunately, it's a very controversial topic in yoga, and yes, yoga can hurt you, but it's not the yoga that's hurting you. It's either the teacher is not instructing you right, or you're hurting yourself because, one, you don't tell your teacher what your ailment is, and if you tell them, maybe they don't know how to modify for you. And then we live in the West, and everything is competitive. So, by golly, if that person next to me put their foot behind their head, I will do it too. Even if I tear all my muscles, even if I pull it out of the joint, I will do it. So, yes. Doing yoga can hurt you, but not yoga itself. So it's very important, especially if you're a beginner, to find a beginner's class, and you, if you have some type of an ailment, to find maybe a certified therapeutic yoga teacher who can help you. And believe me, we put too much emphasis on somebody being very, very kind of like, oh, I know it all, and I'm very confident. But go with the teacher that goes like, you know, I think this might help you, but let me do a little bit more research. They have other yoga teachers that also teach in a similar things and ask. So find somebody to trust that asks you questions and that sometimes even says, you know what, I don't know about this, because nobody knows at all.
Okay, and so basically yoga is a proactive in both the student and the teacher. Same thing goes with massage. I have to put everything in the massage imagery.
Oh, absolutely.
Just like massaging somebody, if they don't tell me that's too much pressure, I will continue that pressure, and then it's their part of it. It's their fault for not telling me I should back off. They can't exactly tell me I hurt them because they didn't voice it out, and that's sometimes where I have some issues with clients, especially first-time clients. I have to tell them, you know, I do have firm grips, so you have to tell me if I'm putting too much pressure, so I'll back off, or if I'm not putting enough pressure, so I can put more pressure on. Because it's a lot. The guys actually, they see me, I'm so small, and they go, oh, you can't hurt me, and then all of a sudden I do in a sense, because it's now kind of like a challenge for me. It's like, oh, I guess they like deeper work. And I go deeper, and then I start reading their body. And I said, are you sure this is not too deep? Because you're starting to shake. Because, no, it is a little too deep. And I go, well, you need to talk to me on this. So
yeah.
I also try to read their body, their reactions. And if they don't, then if they keep doing that, then I do not want them as a client, because I'll end up hurting them, and they're going to blame me for that when it's really part their fault.
Yes, absolutely. And that's that disassociation with your body, because you don't know that, yes, you're hurting. You're supposed to say something. You're supposed to back off, because we are just taught, just take it, you know. So, yes, the students or whoever comes to the massage or yoga student, please take this to heart. If you're feeling that it's hurting you, and you will know when you're hurting yourself, please back off. No matter what the teacher tells you, no matter what the person next to you is doing, back off, back off, back off. Because if you hurt yourself, you're not going to be able to walk for 3 or 4 months, or you're going to be in some type of a contraption, or you're going to be laid down. It's not worth it for that 1 minute that you are pushing something.
In my massage session, I tell my clients this. Would this be something that yoga students can also use as a way to know that they're hurting themselves? I tell my clients, if they're holding their breath because of the pain, that's too much. So they need to tell me to back off. If they're breathing through the stretch or the pressure, then it's okay. Would that be about the same?
Correct. And the only thing is, because, you know, when you're laid down, your body's a little bit more limber, you know, it's kind of like the supporting sitting muscles are kind of like more loose. Sometimes people are so used to just breathing into their chest, so they will do big, shallow breaths, so they're still breathing, and they think they're breathing okay. So as soon as you start doing one of those... You know that you've done too much. It's very similar, except that sometimes people can still breathe in yoga postures and they think it's okay. So they kind of really have to feel.
Okay, so deeper breaths and slower too. So, yeah, that's what
correct.
I tell them, is take a deep breath in and exhale, and that's when you can let go. And if they can let go, then they can probably stretch a little bit more. But if they're starting to puff and puff because it hurts, then that's too much.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Wow. So I'm just kind of curious. Is there like, massage therapists, we have shop talk. Is there like experiences that you had in the past that would be kind of like not necessarily embarrassing to you, but can happen to other people? So it might not be as embarrassing as they thought it might be. Because me, I went to a hot yoga and I was basically fainting because it was too hot. I told my friend who invited me to this hot yoga that I can't do anything more than 90 degrees. And she said, oh, I think it's in the 80s. Okay, fine. I went there. It was 101. I was starting to faint. I basically did the dead man's pose for the last 30 minutes. And not only that, I was starting to feel like I needed to puke. So I would come out and, you know, go to the bathroom just in case, and then come back in and then go back out. And it's like, this is not working. So basically I stayed out for the last 20 minutes. It's like, oh, my goodness. To me, I felt embarrassed because I was the only one going in and out, So, yeah, and another thing is the accidental, flatulence.
Oh, yeah. and let's go back to your hot yoga experience, and then we'll go back to flatulence.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, absolutely. There's different body types, and I would say some people are just not good with hot yoga. I'm always cold, and that's my body constitution. I love hot yoga. My mom would probably die, so I would never, ever take her to hot yoga, just not for her. So you have to research what you think, and if you don't like heat, then you don't go there. If you don't like it really cold, because afterwards you hurt, then you go somewhere where it's warmer. And then as it comes to flatulence and farting, and I'm sorry, that's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
I wanted to say burping, you know, it all comes out. And I always say, you know what, that is your body loosening up and letting go. So don't be embarrassed. And then, like, practitioners that have been in yoga for a long time kind of just chuckle and they're completely fine with it. I think it's more embarrassing to the newcomers because they don't realize when you're in a certain pose, there's, like, a pose that's called wind removing and people fart in it because they've never done it and they're, you know, their intestines are squeezed. So it happens. It is completely natural. And I tell people, yawn, yell, whatever you want to do to release and relax. But I do have certain funny things that happen to me, and it's because English is not my first language, so as you can hear by my accent. So sometimes
wonderful. I wouldn't have noticed.
So for example, I have told my students before, instead of ground your hips to the ground, I say grind your hips to the ground. So we start laughing.
What kind of yoga is this?
Yes, exactly. And I put everybody. And then another one that I have, foot and food. So I go like, grab your food. And they're like, what are you talking about?
And just
yesterday, I was trying to tell them, you know, feel that primal juices in your body, and instead of primal, I watch a lot of sci-fi, so it came out primeval juices, and they're like, what kind of evil juices do I have? And I just said, now all of you know that I'm watching sci-fi, but I meant primal. So I have a lot of those, and especially in Slavic languages, and my Slovenian is a Slavic language, we have the same word for fingers and toes. So we call the toes the fingers on the foot. So sometimes I refer to them as fingers, and I'm saying the fingers on your foot, and they're like, what?
Oh, my goodness, yes. English is actually supposedly my second language, but I came up to the States so young that I actually think and speak English. But there are some words in Tagalog that actually, if you say it the wrong way, you are in trouble. Like the word kaibigan. Kaibigan means friend, but the same spelling, if you wrote it down, it's the same thing as kaibigan, which is lover. So yeah, you have to be careful how you introduce your kaibigan.
Yeah.
So wow. Hey, Alex, did you ever take in yoga class, and you have a funny story to share?
No, I can't say I've ever had. I've never done yoga. Lydia and I were talking about that, not being able to really find a place that I thought would fit for me. There are so many farting stories I could tell you. Trust me. You know.
You mean flatulence. No.
Oh, you know, I mean, I obviously I work in a hospital, and so sometimes, you know, you have, it just comes up as a part of the job, so nowadays, it's they pooted. No, they
pooted.
Just getting relaxed. Just moving your lunch around, making room for dinner. But it's okay,
yeah.
You know. But I think that's kind of where you know you're at a good spot in your workout, though, is when you can let that go.
I am just thinking, when you said of the poop, I will not use the more crass word, the one starting with an S, so I will just say the poop. But I heard the sentence, and I was laughing so hard. It said, the more you poop, the happier you are.
and sometimes
because
it's true,
you have good balance, you know, your internal organs is actually doing what it's supposed to be doing.
Does it mean, because naturally our bodies are going to produce the gas and from digestion and everything else, but I think there's some weird stigma around it. I mean, obviously, I don't think I'd really want to be in a room during hot yoga because there's a lot of gas going on.
Actually, not really.
I'm just saying. I mean, I know that sometimes it can get a little too relaxing in there, but, you know, it's... I think just from a medical aspect, I mean, obviously you both are in medical, so for somebody that's in that field, it's really doesn't faze them too much, as opposed to somebody who's never really been around it, and they're just like, oh my God, this person just pooted. I cannot believe he just pooted. Oh my God, it's going to smell so bad. Oh my God. You know, kind of a freak out.
Yeah.
Here's the funny thing. While I was at the studio up in Anchorage, everybody was so nonchalantly talking about their bowel movements. It's awesome. And, you know, well, it was also an Ayurveda school. So, yeah, I was, like, aghast. But at the same time, like, oh, this is really curiously, you know, kind of funny and awesome at the same time. But, yeah, everybody's talking about their bowel movements because if you have several bowel movements in a day, you are doing great. You're healthy.
Yes. but think
so
about
it.
This is all brought in by the West. Yeah, this is brought in by the West. It's, you know, we don't talk about our bodies. We don't talk about our genitals. God forbid somebody sees your genitals. And it's the same with body movements, you know, like bowel movements or burping or whatever it is.
Yeah, because I grew up mostly here in the West, I basically have that reaction as well, like, oh, you know. Heck, growing up, even here, living in the States, my brother and my sisters and I would actually sometimes, we don't necessarily eat together at the same time all the time, but when we do, holy crap, yeah, we talk about crap and stuff, but in our language, because all my brother has to say is utot, and then everybody will crack up, and utot means is basically the tooting, and so everybody will crack up, and that would be just a joke.
Well, I mean, for some reason, you know, we've become so conservative where, and Lydia, please correct me if I'm wrong, I know that, I guess I've heard that so many European countries, they're much more forgiving about that kind of discussion,
yes.
Rather,
mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly.
Where the body is nothing to really be ashamed of or nothing to really be conservative so much about, you know, it's a part of life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. I am also a journalist for several newspapers or actually magazines in Slovenia. And one of them is kind of like a girly magazine, think something like Marie Claire or something like that. So the magazines that I had at the house, and one guy was thumbing through them and going like, oh, my God, there is so much nudity. And I was like, what are you talking about? And it's like the naked side of a female body for a soap commercial or something. And I was like, you know what? I never realized, yes, they're naked. But, you know, I see that all the time. It's just a body. It's a beautiful body. So
mm-hmm.
It's definitely more open in Europe, yeah.
Oh, going back to yoga.
Yes, let's go back to yoga.
Here's another reason why I actually haven't really gotten into yoga. One is the upside down thing, hanging upside down. I mean, I've done some yoga, the breathing yoga. I don't know what that's called. Basically, breathing in and out of one nostril while you plug the other side, and you know, you definitely need
children, alternate nostril breathing, yes.
Yes, it heats up the body, which is kind of cool. And I did that in preparation for my Thai massage, as far as when I was learning it in Thai massage school, about, I don't know, gosh, 8 years ago or so. But anyway, there's some poses that I would get dizzy, like the inverted bridge. I would get dizzy. I can do the downward dog, but I can't do the too long. I'll start getting headaches because of the way my shoulder. Oh, at that time, I would probably get more headaches. Now I'm a little bit more, much better with my my shoulder strength. So what do you do for those people who actually have vertigo? Because I have that.
Mm-hmm.
Or have head rush because of being upside down too long.
Yes, I always say please get out of the pose. So basically come into it a child's pose. So you are mildly inverted, but you will probably never get vertigo in that pose. Child's pose
is not
a mild, yes. So, and then go back into a breath. A lot of these things come because you probably didn't even notice. You started breathing either like more erratically, or maybe you just started breathing into just like the chest, or you really stiffened up. So stiffening up a lot of times also brings headaches. So I would say, you know, just stay in a down dog just for a breath or two, and then come back down and relax and release. And then you slowly build up where you come into the pose where you slowly build up. And I don't want to use the word strength, but it's more a relaxation into the pose.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, you need strength to stay in it, but it's that relaxed thing where you don't tense up. And for some people, inverted poses, they will just never happen. So that's where you need a good teacher where you tell them, okay, I have a really bad vertigo, and this is something that I can do. So what you can do is, again, either the child's pose or the ultimate pose. You can go to the wall, have your buttocks towards the wall, your back is flat on the ground, so is the back of your head, and your legs are up the wall. So it's like a little cascade of fountain of youth. You're inverted, there is no vertigo, and it's really, really great for all your fluids in the body and for everything in your body.
Is that something that you actually teach as far as, you know, of course, you have so many people in a class, and then somebody says, well, I can't do that because of that. Okay, everybody do this,
this. Correct. I give the modification, and again, it comes to voicing it. I sometimes come to the student, and I start correcting them, like in a posture, opening them up or doing something, and that's when they tell me something is going on. So teacher needs to listen. Any good teacher needs to listen. Actually, any teacher, let's not have bad teachers. Any teacher needs to listen and give the modification. And there is modification to every pose. There is some people that just cannot come into a pigeon pose. So that's like one of the front foot is bent and you're on the floor and you're over that front foot and it's really tugging somewhere on their muscles or nerves. So you come back laying on your back and you do like the number four with your legs. I know right now it's kind of, I'm not going into the depth, but there is modification for every pose. And some poses actually are not good for some people. Like if you have a detached retina or if you have, what's the thing called that older people get on their eyes, the gray?
Glaucoma?
Glaucoma and stuff like that, don't do inverted poses. That is not good for you. So just don't go into them. And the teacher needs to know. But usually people like that hopefully seek more like a therapeutic style of yoga and teachers.
Do the registered yoga teachers get that kind of contraindications as far as I'm sure I've seen the sign-up sheet at the yoga studio, basically releasing them from liability because they might get hurt on their own. They need to talk to the teacher concerning about their conditions and so on and so forth. How do they know, though? Because I don't remember having it listed what the contraindications are. If you have glaucoma, talk to your teacher. If you have a detached retina, talk to your teacher. If you have a replaced hip, talk to your teacher. You know what I'm saying? How do they know to talk to the teachers?
Hopefully, a good yoga school, so there's registered yoga schools, they go through each pose and they do talk about contraindications, but that's just the one time, and then they don't focus on them anymore. So it's really good if you have medical problems to find somebody who's a certified therapeutic yoga teacher. So it's better to do it that way. It's not because they didn't learn, but there's so much information that you're learning, and because you're not focusing on that, and there's so many different ailments in all of it that either you forget or it just doesn't stick with you. You heard it once, and that was it. You didn't even write it down because it was so fast. So find a therapy yoga teacher, and again, I really encourage people to talk to their yoga teachers and tell them what's going on. So, as I said, if you have major medical problems, first talk to the doctor. We're not doctors. And then second of all, talk to your yoga teacher, and hopefully a good yoga teacher might tell you, you know what, I'm not comfortable with this because I don't know. And that's where you have all these different styles of yoga. Like somebody's really good vinyasa teacher, but they won't be able to teach Iyengar in alignment. So there's so many different things. And each yoga is valid for a certain person, but a different type, like you didn't, you know, the hot yoga, and you're in Ayurveda, which tells you the body types and your constitution. The heat is just not for you. So you kind of have to ask a lot of questions and self-explore.
Okay. Sounds like a good idea to me. Basically, ask more questions. Don't assume that particular yoga style is for you. Try it out.
Correct.
Ask questions again and basically tell the teachers there are some conditions that you might have that you're concerned about and go from there. So, yeah, it sounds like to me it's really proactive on both sides. I mean, but the teachers can't start the proaction because they will assume everybody knows that this is actually, you know, what they're getting into.
Yes, unless you go into a beginner's class, because teachers, and sometimes it's hard when you have all levels class and you have somebody who's a very strong yoga practitioner and you have somebody that is very beginner. So it's hard for the teacher to kind of cater to both sides. So kind of all levels classes, if you're a beginner, please avoid them because teacher will just not be able to kind of spot you. Versus a beginner's, you go slower, you talk a lot, you explain a lot. So I encourage people, if you've never done yoga, go to beginners, even if you're very, very athletic, just to get into that body flow with the yoga and the breath.
Okay, good to know. Hey, this has been a wonderful show tonight. Thank you so much, Lydia. I've actually learned a lot more and want to, I kind of hitting myself right now for not taking advantage of the invite from Carrie to take up, you know, to try
the
out yin
yoga. Yes.
Yeah. Darn it. But I don't know exactly when I'll be coming back to Alaska. A lot of life stuff has kind of been presenting themselves to me in the last 2 weeks after I got back. So there's a possibility I might not be able to return anytime in the next 2 years. But I'd love to.
Plot twist.
Oh, plot twist. Well, some life stuff actually is not quite sure if my mm-hmm. former girlfriend is going to come down here to learn massage here at Renton Tech. And so that's not going to happen until she answers some questions because I don't want any drama. The other one is actually I am looking into maybe immigrating to Australia. So there's a lot of international travel for me. So I need to save some money. The other one, so many. So it's finding a massage place that doesn't cost an arm and a leg in Anchorage, so I can practice massage while I'm up there.
Yeah.
so, you know, the studio that I was at, the acupuncturist there was so busy that she needed all three rooms, and I felt like I was taking a lot of her business by stationing myself in one of her three rooms. So I didn't want to have that feeling of, I didn't like that at all. I didn't like that at all. So I just felt really bad. Another thing is I might have a family immigrating from the Philippines that may be at my home. So there's a lot of things up in the air, and I can't say anything until it actually starts happening. So, yeah.
And there is yin yoga elsewhere, so it's not just in one place. They have it everywhere. And to Alex, I would like to say, kind of open yourself up to a possibility and just go to a studio. And if you don't like it, it's okay. So don't maybe put so much expectations on yourself that you have to find the right studio and you're going to find the right teacher. Just kind of go in and I was like, yeah, that wasn't too good. I'm going to go somewhere else. So kind of just be kind of open and it's fine. And if you don't go, again, no judgment.
Well, definitely. And you know, I'll keep my eye open. Who knows, maybe I'll find a way to drag Lynn down with me. And
only if they have it has to be close to work. You know, my time is really, like, full.
Yeah.
Or is it my head that's really...
Yeah.
But, yeah, thank you so much, Lydia. You have been wonderful tonight, and I hope that you also... I guess you're just right now not a regular teacher at Spirit Path, but you're more of a substitute.
Sub-teacher. That's because sub? I choose it. I choose it that way. I sub in a lot of different studios, and I also sub in San Diego, and sometimes I go and teach in Slovenia. I still travel a lot. One is for my work. As a journalist, and the other one is with my husband, who also travels all over the world. So I choose, and it is great for me because it's so little pressure, and I teach so many different styles, so I never get kind of what they call, I'm sorry, I'm now lacking
never
the English
get bored.
Word. It's not the bored. I don't get like stepped out of energy, because sometimes I'm thinking if you're doing the same thing over and over and over again and a lot of times a day, it kind of saps that energy from you. I don't get that. I'm always happy. I always see different people. I'm always doing something, you know, exciting and different. And so I love being a sub teacher, and I'll probably stay one all my life.
Oh, wow. Well, see, I feel the same way. That's why I travel and do my massages in a different venue or do some workshops in a different venue, and also why during the summer and fall months my team and I would follow cyclists in different states and do sports massage. Coming up right now, we have one that's happening here in Seattle and Tacoma called the Obliteride. It's a two-day event, and then after that would be in Shelton and Tacoma called the Rhapsody, acronym for Right Around Puget Sound. And then in September, we have the Oregon Coast Classic, which is the People's Coast Classic for the Arthritis Foundation, and then California Coast Classic, again for the Arthritis Foundation, at the end of September. So we get to travel as well, and I like it. It just, it's a lot of hard work, but it's for some reason gives me more energy and reason to continue what I'm doing. So I feel you. I understand what you're talking about. So I hope that the listeners or potential listeners for this blog talk will also get some benefits and knowledge from this talk tonight. And I'm just losing words right now because I think it's time to go home.
Yes.
But thank you, Lydia. Thank you again for calling in and being our guest for tonight. And hopefully, whenever I come back up to Alaska, we'll meet up and watch a sci-fi movie, because I'm also a sci-fi geek.
Yes, I saw that, Firefly. And I can do yin yoga with you, and you can give me a massage. So there we go.
Hey,
There you have it. And thank you, Alex, for actually being my co-host tonight. You did a wonderful job. Thank you.
She's
also a fan, so she's like multi-talented.
Bye.
All right, thank you very much. We'll talk to you sometime in 2 weeks. Again, same Bat Channel, Bat Station, Tuesday, 6 p.m. Oh, no, it's actually 8 p.m. I'm thinking the dojo. But 8 p.m. on Tuesday, the 13th of August.
There and say, hey, about